Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I have a good show for you today, and today we're going to be talking about narcissism. We're going to be talking about narcissistic personality disorder and how to know when we're dealing with someone who has a tendency of having narcissistic traits, right? We're not trying to, pigeonhole. We're not trying to define. We're not trying to put people into a box today, but we're trying to understand a more understanding of what narcissism is, how to know when you're dealing with someone that has narcissistic traits. You know, there's a tendency more often than not, because of many of us being raised in certain family dynamics, to acquiesce to the narcissist. And more often than not, we have a tendency of doing things that the narcissist wants us to do, even if it's something that we actually don't want to do. We might even feel compelled to do something that actually is not good for us, or compelled to do something that actually is against what we need to be doing to try to make them happy, to try to make them feel good. And it's interesting how in these situations, very rarely does that person contribute into your life. Okay, very rarely is that person contributing. Sometimes you might have some contribution into your life of something good, but it's usually based on the fact that they too will reap the benefits. It really has nothing to do with you solidly, right? So it's not like they go out of their way to do something for you based on the fact that they get nothing in return for it. When most of the time, when they're asking you to do something in your life for them, they're asking you to give up yourself. They're asking you to sacrifice quite a bit. And that sacrifice usually comes at a high price to you. And so on today's show, I want to really reveal the traits of narcissistic behavior. Better understand the programming, right? Because that's what it all comes down to, is that we're not really around narcissists unless we were trained to be around narcissists. Okay, you don't go, it's fun, it's interesting, because I have folks say, well, I don't know, it's like, if there's a narcissist in the room, I'm going to find him. If there's a narcissist on this dating site, I'm going to find that person to date. Like, that's all I find. I don't know what it is. Am I a narcissist magnet? Well, you know what, I get it, but it's not really that. It's just the fact that you've been programmed to find certain people with certain personalities and certain traits. Those traits happen to be more narcissistic in nature. You've been around this for a long period of time. This has become more of your normal. So let's talk about some of the signs that you're dealing with someone that has these tendencies and these symptoms and signs of narcissism. The first thing is entitlement. And I think many of you understand what entitlement is quite well. And in that process of entitlement, those folks, they are entitled to anything. They're entitled to anything you have. They're entitled to anything they want. And more often than not, we find ourselves acquiescing, trying to take care of things for them. And if we don't do everything that they ask us to do, we feel bad about it a lot of times, because we've been trained this way. So today's show is not only about, obviously, many of you know the signs and symptoms of narcissism. That's pretty simple. But today we're talking about that and the programming of how we've been programmed to facilitate and to give them whatever they want based on our upbringing and our personal programming that's created that. Okay, so you see how it's the perfect storm? That's what these things happen, right? It's like we do this because this is what we're used to. You know, they do this because they fit the mold. Here we go. So we have the perfect storm. So we're going to be talking about that. So the entitlement factor is so interesting, because when you're dealing with someone that's outwardly more narcissistic, it's more of that superior feeling. It's more of, you know, I'm entitled this. And then sometimes, you know, we deal with someone that's more of maybe of a vulnerable or more of a covert narcissist, where we feel as though we owe them an apology or we feel bad for them. It's very interesting, because somebody can be entitled and want something from you that you can't provide, and at the time, and then you try to move mountains to do it for whatever reason, not because this person has really been there for you, but because this person is so adamant about you doing this based on the fact that they are, they almost seem like, you know, like they're hurt. They seem very vulnerable. They seem very needy. Their feelings get hurt very easily. And sometimes, you know, more than not, it has nothing to do with that, right? A lot of times this is the way that they're able to get what they want and to be able to get that from us. And so understanding first about the superiority or the entitlement factor, everything their way, everything under their control, it's their way or the highway. And it's interesting. So that's what I want you to really think about first off. The second thing is that need for validation and attention. We know that that's something that goes hand in hand when you're dealing with someone that has signs of narcissistic behavior. And that's what we're talking about is behavior, right? We're not trying to define people in a box. We're just looking at their behavior. That's all we're looking at. Understanding the behavior, identifying the behavior, right? And then identifying why we act a certain way around the behavior. Because that's really what's happening here, is that behavior has us generating another behavior, right? So it has us doing something to make their behavior work, or to create that that kind of agreement, that enmeshment kind of sort of thing. And so that that need for attention and validation, the constant need for attention, the need for validation is constant as well, right? We're supposed to approve of that person, love them, admire them, approve of them. But when is it enough? And I think that's a really big question. When is it ever enough? And I know that many of you have been in these situations with these folks, probably currently dealing with a situation, whether a friend, a family member, even a significant other, where no matter how much validation you give them, they're always looking for more. The interesting thing, though, is that they rarely give you validation, right? They're rarely giving you validation. So if you're looking for them for validation, that's just not going to work. And a lot of times with these folks, it's like you almost feel like, you know, you need to build them up so much. And because your relationship is constantly about building these folks up, right? You find yourself, you know, being the cheerleader. You find yourself, you know, calling them and checking on them. You find yourself texting them, you know, reminding them how much you care, whatever. But at the same point in time, it seems very one-sided, right? And it seems very one-sided because it is very one-sided. Okay? And sometimes folks realize what they're doing, but more often than not, they really don't. I think to some degree, some people do know what they're doing. And I think to some degree, some people are unconscious to what they're doing. I mean, a lot of people on our planet are not self-aware. You know, and I'm not trying to give the free pass. I'm not trying to say they're all okay because they don't know any better. That's not what I'm saying here. But most people on this planet are not, I mean, not most, but a large portion of society is not self-aware. And obviously you listening to the show and being a part of the show or being a part of the live feed, you're obviously extremely aware, trying to get more information, more knowledge, because knowledge is power, right? Knowledge does serve us to understand. And then when we integrate that knowledge in a powerful way, we're able to see things how we've done things in the past. We're able to acknowledge our own programs. We're able to acknowledge our own key programs to this whole situation. Because remember, if the narcissist doesn't have supply, right, if you're not giving to them, then what happens to this relationship? Well, it doesn't work anymore. And we can keep choosing to offer that supply and keep choosing to giving to them and giving them what they want and giving them more of that validation and more of that praise and doing whatever they want and still kind of feeling neglected or empty. Or we can decide, okay, hey, you know, this is the time when I'm going to push the button, see how this person truly feels about me, see if they really do care about me outside of the things that they want me to do. And if that works, that's great, and that's awesome. And you can continue a relationship from there, seeing the changes in working on that and believing in that friendship on a different level. Or you can actually, you know, come to that situation, be aware, be direct, and then be aware and mindful and self-aware enough to understand where the relationship is to begin to make major changes or to begin to let it go. right? Because a lot of times it's hard to let go of these relationships because these are situations that we've dealt with for a very long time. These are situations many of us have been raised by family, parents that are maybe have traits and behavior patterns of a narcissist. And so we can feel as though this is our normal. It's our usual. And because it's our usual, it's our go-to. And because it's our go-to, and because we've been trained a lot of times to give to the narcissist, to take care of them, to do everything, and to not expect anything in return. And when you do get some nuggets or, you know, some crumbs of validation, we accept it. Right, and that's usually what happens with a narcissist. You tend to not really reap any benefits. Not that you're looking for benefits from a friendship or relationship, but you tend to get really nothing in return. And then you get some of those tidbits, some of those crumbs, and you really feel like you can be nourished with these crumbs because you've done that as a child. You know, growing up, the crumbs were what you got, and if you got the crumbs, you didn't see the crumbs as crumbs. You saw that as the concern, you saw that as the validation, and that's all you expected to ever get. It's not like you thought that there was more out there to get, right? You just like, wow, okay. And so that became normal. And so if we're getting those narcissistic crumbs in a relationship right now, and that might be something to sit back at and think about right now, is that a lot of times the crumbs, and I'm not saying that they might not be extravagant different things, but it's interesting. If you look at what the narcissist has done for you, it's based on also them getting some in return. So, for example, you know, if you were taken on a trip or what have you, and you're like, wow, this person really went out of their way, but that person was also benefiting from the trip. The person was also benefiting from the room. The person was also benefiting from the dinner. The person was also benefiting. You start to get the point here, right? It's not about you. You happen to be there, and it also makes them feel better because they're being able to be grandiose, and they're being able to put that forward, and they are the one that's giving you that in the moment, right? And it feels really good because you're like, wow, somebody's really going out of their way. And I'm not trying to discredit this, but what I am saying is we have to look a little closer and realize that the going out of the way, is it really going out of their way? Because they're benefiting and reaping as well. The problem with the relationship, though, is that, yes, they can do those things, go out of their way, and you benefit from them obviously benefiting, and you're kind of getting the trickle-down approach, right? You happen to be there, so therefore you benefit, okay? But the problem is that normally when they're asking you to do something for them, when they're asking you to do something for them, it's something that you are not going to benefit from. It's something that you actually have to go solidly out of your way. You have to do a lot of things to matriculate it, which is fine. I'm not saying you should never go out of your way for your friends or family, because we should. But you find yourself doing that, and that's something that totally does not benefit you in any way, shape, or form. And then it's fine. You do it. You've done it before. You'll do it again. But then in that next time when you do it again, it seems though as though the idea of your feelings or your emotions or your needs are put on the back burner and not even thought about. Okay, you having anything else or your emotions or anything else that's going through or dealing with doesn't matter. And I want you to really think about that, because it's something that usually goes under the radar. And why it goes under the radar is because we have a blind spot. We have a massive blind spot to the situation, because we've been around it for a long period of time. And that's why I'm bringing this up in today's show. I think it's a timely show to talk about this, because this is something that we need to discuss. And I think it's going to be powerful for us to understand what's really, truly happening. So when I return, I'll be talking more about the narcissistic traits and behaviors, our programming that intermixes with it and meshes with it, making it the perfect storm. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of 1, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years, folks. It's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I've been talking about the traits of the narcissist and how those traits of the narcissist directly relate into the situation we're talking about, and especially dealing with the traits of the narcissist and how our programming interacts with their situation. Our programming believing that this is what we're used to, this is our norm, this is our situation. And one of the sides of the narcissist that we deal with a lot more than we probably really understand is that lack of responsibility and the deflection piece, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of deflecting going on when you're dealing with a narcissist because they're always going to take responsibility for everything that goes perfect. They're going to take responsibility for anyone that's doing something amazing at that time. They're going to take responsibility, like, for example, many of you growing up, maybe one of your parents were narcissistic in nature. And in that situation, you might have been like somebody in sports that was doing really well in sports, and at the same time they would take credit for whatever you were doing. They would take credit for your work, they would take credit for your ability, right? All of a sudden you were like the star person in the sports arena, right? But when there was less than perfect, it became a problem, right? So when things don't go according to plan, that's when they take and they put the responsibility on you and the blame on you, okay, right? And it's interesting because you have to be really careful, because if you don't do whatever they ask, right, they see that as rejection. If they see rejection, usually what happens is a narcissist will completely cut you off. And that's where one of the programs lies, right? So if you don't give them what they want and they see that as you rejecting them because they need this validation, there's a tendency of them cutting you out of their life, right? And because of the programming and you feeling as though you need them in your life, what do? You go back and try to do what you think you need to do to make things right. Right? So you go back, you acquiesce, you do what you have to do, even if it's painful, to make things right, right? With the narcissist, basically rejoining in, reconnecting in, validating them, trying to offset what they thought is the rejection to get back into the good graces. Okay, and those good graces can last for a long period of time or a short period of time. And see, the problem is that once we do that, that person knows that they can control us, even if it's subconsciously. They know that they control us based on the fact that the fear of not having the relationship is so important. The fear of losing that relationship is such a problem with us that we're willing to do whatever. And see, one of the things that we don't realize in this relationship, we don't really realize what we're dealing with. And because we are lacking those boundaries, and most of the time we're lacking the boundaries, because I was talking about it earlier before I went to break, is I was talking about how we lack those boundaries because dealing with this type of person with these types of behavioral traits are usually a blind spot for us, because in that blind spot, right, because we've been around it so often, right, we've been around it as we're growing up, it's a blind spot, it's something that we don't really realize we're dealing with, especially with the person that we're dealing with it with. You understand that? So it usually goes under the radar because we don't suspect that person as being narcissistic in nature, because we don't really realize it. We haven't really put two and two together. And one of the interesting things that I want to talk about before we go to this next break, because Dan Nelson is going to join us here in the third segment, middle of the third segment. He's our resident historian and genealogist. And so he's going to have a really great true life story for us that you can't find anywhere else but here. But one of the things I want to just touch on real quick before we go to break is that empathy, the lack of empathy that you're going to find with somebody that has these narcissistic tendencies, the lack of empathy to feel empathic or feel bad for you, remorseful for you, or sad for you. It doesn't exist. So no matter what you're going through or how you express yourself, it's like they can't hear it. They don't hear it. They don't try to process that. And they sure are not going to feel bad for you and try to acquiesce, because they don't understand that. We're going to be talking about that lack of empathy right when we come back from break. So stay tuned, because Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's DancestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Tear gas and water cannons have been deployed by riot police in Paris against protesters that are demonstrating in support of the Palestinians. Paris has a ban on social gathering. Some demonstrations in other French cities were peaceful. Other marches were held in London, Berlin, and the Netherlands following a week of intense fighting between Israel and the Palestinians. Some of the outrage directed at Israel follows the destruction of a high-rise building in Gaza City. One of them housed the offices of international media companies, including the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is calling the bombings a clear act to stop journalists from reporting on the conflict. Also targeted, according to the Israeli military, the home of a top Hamas leader. This is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking about narcissistic traits, narcissistic tendencies, and how we find ourselves living in a certain program when we interact with these folks. And one of the things that I find that's so interesting is that when we're interacting in these relationships with these folks, a lot of times the relationships that we have with them are really actually kind of based on surface attributes and really not unique qualities of the person. For example, you might have a lot of unique qualities and a lot of things about you that are really awesome, but they don't really know those things about you, right? Oftentimes when you're dealing with folks that have narcissistic behavioral patterns, they might not really even know any of the stuff that you do or what you work on. Or they might know a little bit of it, but not really much of anything, right? It's like a stranger probably knows a little bit more if they've done any investigation on you or research on you more than they know, right? And it's interesting also how the person in their life is really valued based on what that has been beneficial, Okay, so if you're beneficial to that person and they see you as beneficial, then you're kind of in the good graces. You're still in the group. You're still friends with them. But at the moment where they feel like you are not beneficial to them, you are discarded. And that's something that I really want you to think about, because this can be really overwhelming. And the fact that you think that something is a really great relationship and you're working on it, and because you have the blind spot from the previous programming, from upbringing, dealing with folks that have this type of behavior, you keep giving. But you really don't realize that there's a moment when there's a possibility of you being discarded because you don't do something that they want you to do, or they don't see you any longer any sort of value. They don't see you as being valuable anymore. And that's what can be very hurtful. I've spoken with some people just even recently, and it was interesting. They said, you know, hey, when I just got discarded from the narcissist, it was really painful because I didn't realize how much I was giving and giving and giving of myself, and I didn't realize that I was giving so much. I was giving really what I didn't even have, and I didn't realize the implication out of that, okay? And see, this can be interesting, too, because there's that tendency with that blind spot to keep giving. There's that tendency of giving a certain behavior. So when you're dealing with the narcissistic behavior of kind of being demanding and entitled, there's that tendency of giving from our perspective, from a perspective that would mesh into that, right? So if there's maybe some codependent tendencies or some fear of rejection or some core abandonment fears, right, there can be a situation where you keep giving and giving because it feels like the right thing to do, because you, even though it might be painful, it feels like it's the right thing to do. One of the other things that I also find is that a lot of times it's the relationship that you have with that person that's displaying these narcissistic behaviors is really based on the last thing that you've done. Okay, and that's what's really so painful. And I think anybody that's been here and gone through this knows what I'm talking about. It's not what you've done through the whole relationship. It's not what you've done throughout the entire relationship, the accumulation of what's happening, right? You know, because I look at a friendship, I don't sit there and like, oh, this is good, this is bad. I don't sit there and rate and judge my friendships. But when I'm looking at a friendship, I'm looking at a friendship from the fact of, wow, look at all the things that we've done. Look at all the things that we've accomplished. Look at all the great things that we've been through. I really rarely look at things from, you know, when somebody's done something that didn't work, or I feel like they should have done something for me. But a lot of times when you're dealing with this person that's displaying these signs, it's whatever you didn't do to the last time. It's how you failed them. And that can be really horrible, because if you're doing a lot of things for this person, you can start feeling not only kind of disrespected, but there's not enough that you can do. Okay, it seems like, and it seems that everything you do is kind of looked at under a microscope, right? The other thing is that when you are doing things for these folks, it's like it just needs to be even better and better and better. And what I found is that also one of the things is that it's interesting how you don't ask them to do things for you. It's almost like in the program you feel bad about even asking for anything from them. And that's one of the things that I really want to talk about, is that when you're dealing with someone with these signs and symptoms, you can feel bad about asking them for anything. And this is weird, and this is the thing that I think is interesting about the narcissistic deal, is that when we have a perfect storm program, and the narcissist is constantly asking you to do things to go out of your way, it's interesting how we have a tendency of not wanting to ask them for anything, and if we have to ask them for anything, it's like you kick it down the road. You keep waiting it out. And why is that? Is it because you subconsciously know they're not going to give it to you? Is it that you subconsciously know that it's not going to happen? Interesting fact, too, even when you have to tell them that you can't do something for them, okay, now this is really big, when you need to tell them that you can't do something for them, and a lot of times the things that you can't do for them are like above and beyond the call of duty, right? It's above and beyond it, and it's so weird how you feel bad about even telling them that you can't do it. It's like you feel bad, you don't even want to have that call. It's like you avoid it, because eventually you're going to have that call. And when you do eventually have that call, and you do eventually throw it out there, it's almost like, you know, the diarrhea of the mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bleh, this is why I can't do this. And And it's because you've been holding it in for so long, because you've known for a fact that you can't do this, the anger and resentment is built up. The idea of overlooking the necessities that you have is part of the programming that they have. The fact that they think that you can do anything at any moment and drop anything to do anything is also a piece of resentment, right? And you've been holding on to this, but it's interesting how you haven't asked them for anything. And I want to talk about this more at the end of the show, because when we hold back from asking for our needs in a relationship, but we acquiesce for someone else's needs, that's interesting. That's interesting. So you're already knowing that there's something wrong with the relationship. You're already subconsciously aware, if not conscious to some degree, that there's something off. You're already realizing that this is kind of a one-sided relationship. And understanding that is key to really seeing the situation in hand, right? That's something that we really need to kind of look at. We need to also understand. But see, I think if you go back to your memory bank of growing up, if you were around this dynamic when growing up, is that there was a lot of things that you had lacked, that you did not ask for. And then you also seemed to jump through multiple hoops to help with other things, but yet it seemed like the other person was not doing the same for you. And so it's interesting to see that dynamic play back out again in a relationship or a friendship, or even, you know, a boss type relationship or a work type relationship. And so that's something that I really think is interesting. And we're going to talk about more about that here at the end of the show. But right now I'd like to talk to Dan. Dan Nelson is our resident historian and genealogist, and he helps us to find these really cool stories that are actually true life stories. Well, you just can't find anywhere else. And Dan has done some digging to find this information. Dan, great to have you here live on Live Your True Life Perspectives.
Glad to be here, Ashley.
Hey, how's it going today? How are you doing?
Doing good. Enjoying this spring weather. You know, we know, summer's right around the corner, so all we can get right now.
We got to take it for what we can get it.
Right.
So what story do you have for us today? Tell us about something that you've dug up in the archives.
Yeah, this story actually came via a potential client. They called to see if we could investigate the story, which we can, so I think they're gathering funds right now. But this is about her ancestor. I want to say great-great-grandfather. And this is from an article that she sent me from a 1981 newspaper article that is basically also talking about a 1938 statement. And the article is talking about the guy that this Charles Simon passed away in Cuero, Texas, in a small trailer in a weed-covered lot. He was 83 years old. And, you know, they said that when he was alive, if he'd stop any passerbyers on the sidewalk and tell him about the fact that he has the right to be the emperor of Austria-Hungarian Empire, which, of course, doesn't exist today, but, you know, details. So, and it wasn't so much that he wanted to be emperor. His thing was he was the rightful heir to a royal fortune of nearly $50 million in jewels and treasury, which he claims still exists in bank vaults of Europe. So, yeah, I guess everybody, if they thought that they were entitled to that, would be talking about it maybe. So he was known as Chili Charlie or Prince Charlie because he operated a chili stand, but he also told everybody that, you know, he was the emperor. So he was sort of written off as a crazy old man. He was actually a graduate of the University of Detroit School of Law, so he was a smart guy, but he definitely had this interesting story. And he looked like, you know, a guy that lived in shambles. He dressed poorly. He lived, you know, poorly, but he could quickly produce $50 and $100 bills from his torn overcoat. And he would claim it was hush money from foreign governments who wanted him to keep quiet about his right to the Austria-Hungarian throne. So sort of interesting there. But anyways, he came in for this, actually it was a session in 1974. And when they were getting ready to do the interview, they had a statement he'd given in 1938 to the newspaper down in Cuero, so 36 years earlier, and the interview matched the story, so it was consistent. But what he said, it was his grandmother, Empress Carolyn, that had a gold medallion that she'd given to his mother, who'd given it to him. And so he was quite upset to find out that the newspaper reporter knew about this medal. because he was afraid all these Texas treasure hunters would tear his trailer apart. So, you know, a little more detail from this 1938 statement, and through this, I'll talk about this over a couple of shows, so just so everybody knows, there will be more to come. But give you a little background, in case you're not up to date on your Austro-Hungarian history, which I was not. But the very powerful Emperor Francis I of Austria-Hungary, he was married four times, had a bunch of children, and supposedly his favorite child was Princess Caroline, who was the only child by his last wife, Princess Carolina August of Bavaria, Germany. And so he apparently said several times, Francis I, that she ought to succeed him as the Empress of Austria and Queen of Hungary, which would make her a very powerful and wealthy person. But before he died, his second son, Prince Charles, had by his first wife died, and he had a son, Prince Charles, so this would be a grandson of Francis named Franz Joseph. So Franz Joseph was reared at the palace in Vienna, and there were a lot of court flatterers who, you know, would sort of say to him, man, you'd make a great ruler for Austria-Hungary also. So, you know, creating the intrigue that, you know, all these royal dramas we get to watch, usually about England, you know, how they come about. And so they continued to promote him to the point it was a bit of a conspiracy against Caroline inheriting the crown. So then when, you know, Francis passed and he'd given the gold ring, you know, sort of saying you're the heir to Empress Caroline, to sort of prevent her from taking the throne, they kidnapped her and they sent her down to the Kingdom of Saxony, which doesn't exist today, but they're in sort of Central Europe. And she was kept there secretly while they were sort of working to get Franz Joseph into power. So she was kidnapped, and instead of putting Franz Joseph into power right away, they put a guy named Prince Ferdinand into power, and he was proclaimed the Emperor of Austria-Hungary. The only problem with him was that, and maybe because of the genetic closeness of his parents, we've talked about that before, they were double first cousins, but he suffered from epilepsy, hydrocephalus, neurological problems, speech impediment. You know, he's depicted as feeble-minded, incapable of ruling. And though he had a sharp wit, he often had as many as 20 seizures per day, which really impacted his effectiveness to be a ruler. And so they had him marry Princess Marie Anna of Savoy, but the court physician considered it unlikely that he would be able to consummate the marriage. And in fact, when he tried to consummate the marriage, he had five seizures. And he's best remembered, you know, I guess when you become the emperor, you say things like this, commanding to his cook when told that he could not have apricot dumplings because apricots were out of season, he said, I am the emperor and I want dumplings. So not sure if that's what I'd use my emperor power on. So I'll break it off there and talk about sort of the next steps here in terms of Franz Joseph becoming the ruler, which he did, and what happened to Princess Caroline. And let's just, I'll give you a little clue. She made it to Texas, which, you know, is a long ways from Austria-Hungary.
Interesting. Yes, I'm definitely interested in hearing the rest of the historical story here. It's very definitely more interesting than a lot of the reality shows out there.
Yeah, it's a fascinating tale. You know, to prove it, that's a little more complicated, but, you know, that's what we're around for.
Exactly. You're here to find that information that we can't find elsewhere. Dan, I so much appreciate your historical perspective today's show. Looking forward to having you back on. We can continue this this story. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. So all the listeners out there, have a great week, and we'll be back on it next week.
Awesome. Dan will be back with us, and stay tuned because we're going to be talking more about narcissistic behavior.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. And then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces. It's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Glad to be back. And today we've been talking about narcissism. We've been talking about when people display the signs and behavior of narcissism and how it affects us when we have old school programming. And how that gives us a blind spot, how that blinds us to what's going on in our current life with the current folks in our life and how we sometimes don't see what's really happening. And I really want to talk about some signs that I feel are things that you're not find anywhere else, okay? And that's something, you know, it's like you can sit there and go online and look and investigate, but I think these are some things that you're not going to find at least very much of anywhere. The first thing is that when we're in the programming dynamic of dealing and acquiescing to the narcissist based on old programming, the first thing we end up doing a lot of times is we don't ask them for anything. Like, we feel bad about asking them for anything, even when they're in a position of being able to give us what we need. And I want you to think about this. Even when they are in a position to give us what we need without any problems on their side, like they could give us what we need and that it would not affect them, we have a tendency of still not asking. And we lament about it and we get upset about it because we haven't asked. Okay? But we don't ask. And one of the things is we go, why don't they just see it? Why can't they see it? Why won't they help? Why won't they take care of that? Okay? And I have one thing to share at the very end that's going to be very interesting, because we think, why don't they see that I need that? Or why don't they understand? Or why don't they look outside of themselves to see that? And see, that's where there's a mistake there. there's two things. One, to think that they're actually going to look outside of themselves to see if they can help you in any way. That's not the way that they are wired. Okay, that's something they don't do. They're looking at themselves, what they can do for themselves, not what they can do for you. The other thing, too, that I think you hesitate to ask them for something that they could readily give, and I'm going to give you an example of that, is you have a friend that has 7 cars. I'm just going to throw it out there, but you understand what I'm saying logically. They have 7 cars, and you need to borrow a car for a couple days because you need to get your car in the shop. But you hesitate to ask to borrow a car, even the cheapest car they have, because you don't ask. You assume, and you take your car into the shop, right, and then you don't have a car, and you might bring it up, and they never say anything. Okay. Well, one, it doesn't behoove them to give it to you because they don't want to. I mean, one, they don't even think about it. It's not even a thought. But two, you know in your heart of hearts that they're going to find a reason not to let you loan that car. Or if they do, they're going to tell you about it. They're going to loan it to you, and then they're going to talk about it every day after that about how they loaned you that, right? But more often than not, it's normally not something like that, but they have something they can turn around on you, or they can tell you a story about why that's not going to work, or why that's not feasible, or why you're going to have to make another choice. The other thing that I find is that you feel bad about not doing things for them, even though you might have done a million things for them in the past. It's like if you can't move mountains to do something for them, you feel bad about it. There's like a feeling of guilt and shame that's around it. And I think you need to think about this, too, because that guilt and shame that's around this is very interesting. The guilt and shame around not being able to do something for the narcissist. And I know that if you're listening to this, you've probably felt this before, where you feel guilty about not being able to do something, and you feel like you have to make all these excuses for not being able to do it. You don't do that with a lot of the other people you talk to. You don't do that in other relationships. But when it comes to this type of dynamic, you find yourself doing it, and you find yourself feeling bad for it. So you give excuses, and then somehow, usually, you end up derailing from that and trying to do it, even though eventually you resent it, you're angry about it because it's putting you in a bad position. It's putting you in a position you don't want to be in. You know, and that's interesting too, because you feel bad about it. You feel bad about it. Another interesting thing is that you worry a lot about interacting with them and telling them how you truly feel, and you actually don't even feel that you can actually be honest in your feelings with them. And when you try to be honest with them, usually it doesn't work out, right? It's like when you try to talk about your own feelings or emotions. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to say right before we end the show is don't expect them to understand your feelings. Don't expect them to give in or to give up anything that they want to give to you for your benefit. And I want you to think about that. And we just need to look and see the blind side. We have a blind side of some of these folks, and we need to understand why. And that's more important than really understanding all the signs and symptoms of narcissism, is to understand, where did my blind spot begin? How did that begin? And how can I be more aware of what's happening and what I'm dealing with at any given time with a person? And how can I safeguard myself by making the right choice? And anytime you feel hesitant or overwhelmed or stressed out about speaking your truth, that is a red flag that something's up, and that needs to be taken care of and dealt with. I hope that this show has helped you. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. You can set up an appointment right there. You can read some of the latest blogs and watch the shows. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. Live your true life perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our Dancestors genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Dancestors clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.